This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional-looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. They have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag and drop technology. You can code, you can design a professional looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace.
Yes.
That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like,
interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness,
it's it's an anti-movement, really.
Oh,
it's
that's
a non-movement
good.
Movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems like it should
be. I'll have to check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Antimovement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't. But
so it's more
fitness
of a fitnessnah.com.
Yeah, it's more of a fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% off their already low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace.
Check out the podcast by the following Jews. One's name is Jake, the other's Amir. The previous web series lasted 8 years. Just email if I were you, show which email. Clear your problems and don't leave out any details. We'll change up your name for anonymity. Cause Jake is a cool and Amir is an ace. They advise on love, friends, and the workplace. They mostly banter, yet their guidance is helpful somehow. If I were you, the show starts now. If I were you, the show starts now.
Wow.
Very nice.
How do you like that Bublé shit?
Risky move covering a Bublé song, because he's got a voice, you know?
Yeah, it's so cool to see Bublé blow up like that. We went to junior high together. We did like bar mitzvah classes together. It's so
you
cool
and Michael Bublé did?
Yeah, we used to call him Booby Bublé.
Booby Bublé.
Little so Booby Bublé.
You went to high school with him?
Yeah, no, we went to junior high. We did bar mitzvah junior singing high. Classes together. Yeah, so
cool.
We like...
I'm just going to quickly look up his Wikipedia page.
Oh, no.
So he's from... He's from British Columbia. He grew up in Canada, and he's 43. So
he's 43. Yes, he is.
And you, how old are you? You're 35 or 36. Yeah. So you guys didn't, you obviously didn't overlap at all in junior high. It's two or three years.
I feel like I'm on trial here. All right, Your
you're
Honor.
Not on
I lied
trial.
About
you're...
Michael Bublé. Oh, no, that's an evil sin.
This is, I would call this a mistrial. This wouldn't see court. You're so clearly lying.
Okay, all right. I'll promise not to say anything wrong going forward, Your Honor.
Well, not wrong, like you lied. So
yeah,
let me
see. I won't mispronounce anything either.
It looks like he is Croatian, which would mean that you were probably lying about doing bar mitzvah stuff together.
It was all a ruse, and I really am sorry about that.
Okay, yeah.
So that was a fuck. Sorry, I shouldn't have even like tried to pass that off. I didn't even have to do that. I'm just like this, pathological.
It was weird because, you made it about you because like there was a song that we usually give somebody credit for where you're like, oh, good job. Here's your SoundCloud page or whatever.
I wanted to be that.
Yeah. You tried to seize the glory.
Right. So here, back to reality, he said, this is a theme song submission of the parody of I Haven't Met You Yet by Michael Bublé. I don't have anything to plug, but give a shout out to my beautiful girlfriend, Jordana. She doesn't listen to any HeadGum podcasts, but I can change that. Also, come to St. Louis. I'm from Long Island, but I go to school in St. Louis, so I always miss your shows. David Steinberger.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Dave Steinberger. So we appreciate that. You are back from your voyage to Paris and Copenhagen.
Yeah, dude. Gay Paris and gay Copenhagen.
You had a croque madame with your madame. And then again, you got hygie and hyphy with the wifey in Danish country.
Yeah.
Danish in Daneland, and you had a croque monsieur as a monsieur.
Yeah, and you know what? I had a great European vacay from Scandinavia to Southern Europe.
And you just got back yesterday, so I didn't even hear anything about it.
Yeah, so one interesting thing that happened to me is that I got food poisoning in Paris.
Okay, that's a good one. And how did it compare to the food poisoning you got the last time you left the country, which was about 2 months ago in Mexico City with me and Marty?
This was probably 5 to 10 times worse.
Worse, which is weird because when you got food poisoning in Mexico City, you puked at a bar, then went home and had diarrhea and puke at the same time. And you said, if this is how I die, then so be it. And you're saying the one you got in Paris was 10 times worse.
Maybe 5.
Okay.
It was the sickest I've ever been in my whole life. And that includes the time that I got food poisoning when I was like 25, like 7 years ago.
Yeah,
until this week was the sickest I'd ever felt.
I'm trying to rewatch like Instagram stories and like try to decide like which one of you were you recovering, which one were you not quite sick yet? Because I do see like yours and Jill's Instagram stories and it seemed like you had a beautiful Parisian vacation. So where in that did you get such ill food poisoning?
Okay. Well, first of all, we had a beautiful Parisian vacation. That was that much was accurate.
Okay.
But on Saturday night, late Saturday night. So that's
day what of that?
We got there Thursday, so you know, that's like some Eiffel Tower pics, some croissants, some like, you know, we had basically had half of our vacation maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday night starting at 4 a.m. and then all day Sunday, I left the hotel room for maybe 30 minutes just to like see if I could take a walk at like sunset on Sunday. Which was the nice, it was 63 degrees and sunny, just like a perfect, utterly perfect day where I was violently puking the entire time.
And do you know what caused it and where?
I've got a theory because, well, I, I don't know anything because, you know, you can't really know. But there is something that grosses me out beyond everything that I ate. So that's just my, like, what I think it was.
Yeah, you're blaming, and, you're scapegoating the goat crepe that you had. You got a goat crepe, medium rare.
It was the greatest crepe of all time, and it was goat meat, and it was goat milk.
The greatest crepe of all time.
We went to this restaurant called Clown Bar. Fuck it. I'll call them out. Because even if they didn't give me food poisoning, they did have terrible service, and I thought they were bad people.
Okay.
So I'll call them out for that alone. And I believe that their duck pie made me almost die. Their pie made me die.
Duck pie. And what are we working with there?
It's sort of like, I guess it kind of looks like a mincemeat pie or something, or like
Australian style,
like a chicken pot pie, maybe.
Yeah,
yeah. But there wasn't like breaded on. It wasn't really breaded on the top or like crusted on the top. It looked just like a bloody red meat thing.
And got it.
Most people split it. I took one straight to the dome, straight to the face, just me alone with the pie.
This is Saturday night.
This is Saturday night. And like, meanwhile, I was feeling very hale and hearty, like all week. I was trying very adventurous things. I ate calf brain. I ate sweet bread. I ate like just like 3 days of really adventurous, kind of disgusting, very, very rich French food.
You had snails, you had butter, you had frogs, you had nutters.
Oh, it's true. So many things that like just make me start sweating a little bit now. And we also stayed out until like 3 or 4 in the morning, like drinking.
Okay.
And then I got a crepe on the street on the way home. The end. Okay?
The beginning.
Right. The beginning. But end of stage one. I guess at like 5:30 in the morning, I woke up and I was like, I feel gross. And I threw up, and I sort of chalked that up to mostly getting a crepe at 4 a.m. I was like, my stomach was too full. This was like resting at the top. I had to clear it out. Now I'm going to go back to bed, crawl back into bed. An hour or so later, I wake up and I throw up again. I'm like, oh man, maybe I drank too much. So
are you hungover too? Or are you drunk? Or are you completely sober?
I'm sort of like out of it at this point. I'm like, man, I can't believe I have to throw up again. I hope I can get enough sleep because tomorrow we have a big day of going to museums and stuff.
This is you on a toilet while diarrheaing.
So like, I'm sort of like throwing up, being like, still like calculating like how much. It's like, okay, I got like 6 or 7 more hours to sleep. I won't be that hungover. I'm glad I threw up a second time. This is actually good. And then the third time I'm throwing up, I'm like, I feel pretty queasy. This is it.
I feel like I'm sweating and pale right now.
I think I've thrown up sufficiently just if this is like, you know, too much to eat or drink. And then it started just happening every 15 or 20 minutes. I would wake up and I'd like need to rush to the bathroom. Meanwhile, I have thrown up all of the food that I've eaten. So I'm just like dry heaving, spitting up little shards of duck pie.
Jesus Christ.
And then like it got to the point, this is maybe at like 10 or 11, Jill is like trying to sleep with earbuds in, listening to music so she doesn't have to hear me fucking
wretch
heaving in the, yeah. And there was nothing coming out. So I like couldn't even breathe. I was just like, that was the sound I was making. Like my stomach.
Pan to the bedroom. Like, Jill is listening to Michael Bublé peacefully asleep.
It just haven't met you yet. It felt like my stomach was like vibrating, trying to shake every last thing out of me. And like I would scream throw-upping for so long that I felt like I wasn't going to be able to breathe. I was like, I could pass out from exertion.
Jesus. And like then your abs felt sore.
Yeah. Like it was taking too much to even kneel next to the toilet. I was sort of like cradling the toilet, like head against the back of it, near fetal position, hugging the toilet like a teddy bear. Just
Jesus.
I wasn't crying, but like there were, I was felt so frustrated and sick, and there were like tears in my eyes, but not like sad tears, more like what is happening tears, you know?
Am I dead for this? Did you diarrhea as well?
No, that was the crazy thing. There was no shitting. And I was like, in Mexico, it was like maybe two pukes and mostly shit, which is like not fun, but shitting is a feeling that you're really used to. Throwing up is like, I'd wake up and be like, maybe 5 minutes of just like apprehension and be like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm gonna have to throw up again. Maybe I don't have to. Maybe I don't have to. Oh, no, I think I do. But like, I didn't eat anything. There's nothing left. It's gonna hurt. It's gonna hurt. And then I'd be like, oh fuck. And then I walk over and I would throw up and it would hurt and nothing would come out. And I would just like,
So how did it end?
Probably around like 3 or 4, I was like, I knew that I wasn't going to throw up anymore. And then I started thinking about drinking water. And I was like, I think I can drink water. And I started drinking water. That was also when I was like able to sort of like sit up and use my phone and like open my eyes for the first time. I thought I maybe should take a walk, but I walked like a quarter mile and I had to sit down on a bench.
Because you were empty and weakened.
So empty. And then I had my first craving. I ate half a banana around like 6 p.m.
I ate half of a duck pie and this salmon monsieur, which is like raw tuna, avocado, an egg.
Salmon monsieur.
I had a frog brain at 10 just to see if I was feeling fine.
And then I went to bed. I slept. I was like, I don't know if I'll be able to sleep. I slept for like 18 hours. And I slept for another 12, and I woke up at 11.
And then what's your first meal back? Like, how do you, like, hit the road again?
I got two croissants.
Started puking my brains out on the Champs-Élysées.
I woke up, and I felt so good. I was like, I am 100% better. And I went, and I got two croissants, and then we, like, went on a walk through a neighborhood. But my battery depleted so fast that everybody's like, let's go get some wine. I was like, I have to go to a park and sleep on a bench now.
You slept outside?
I slept outside on Sunday. Everybody was so worried about me. I was like, no, it's cool. I'm just going to like go chill in the park for a little bit. And I just fully laid down on a bench and slept like I didn't have a home.
For another 18 spot.
Yeah, it was quick. It straight up was an hour nap. And I like, then, and every time I like would see everybody, I would be like, bonsoir, bitches.
Puke dribbling down your chin.
Yeah. And that was Paris.
What was your first drink after all that?
Ooh, I did not drink. The next night, people like went out to dinner, and I went to dinner. It was like a Mediterranean place, and I just had hummus and pita. I still haven't really had food cravings. My stomach feels like it's the size of a peanut. Like even when things look good to me, I can eat like 3 bites. And
oh, interesting.
Then I start...
Yeah, I guess this has been a week now. So are you like fully recovered or still not?
Yeah, I feel fine, but I just like, I am not getting hungry. I have no appetite, basically.
Still.
Even in Copenhagen, I was like, Jill would be like, what do you want to eat? And I was like, I have no idea. And we went like to a bunch of nice restaurants and I would like try the good food, but then I would just like mostly eat bread.
Jesus, you basically got like a lap band surgery. Half of your stomach just descended and now you get hungry off, or you get full off a few bites,
which is kind of nice in a way. Like who can go to Paris and come back weighing less, you know?
If anything, I prefer what happened to me.
That's my unsolicited advice this week, is get food poisoning abroad.
Yeah. Also, I've been drinking a lot less, which has been good for my skin because the poison really hurts my stomach.
Yeah. Last night it was probably the first time I drank. I mean, I had a drink in Copenhagen. I think I had there were 2 nights where I got a beer.
Oh my God, that is a good story. I'm glad. I'm sad that you got sick, but I'm glad that we at least heard a good story.
As always. Oh, also, it was like kind of scary because we were with a group of like 8 people. And one other person got food poisoning, and it just like felt like, oh my God, we could all start dropping like flies. But luckily no one else did.
Was it also from the duck pie?
I think they thought it was from something else, from a different meal. But I like the night before, maybe like a calf brain or a sweetbread or something.
That's the downside of being adventurous.
But I mean, like puking is one thing. And then like
12 hours of feeling like you might just die any second is.
Yeah, a week-long weakness. And Copenhagen was lovely, or?
Copenhagen was dope. I loved it. I think, have you ever been there?
I was there like when I was like six on like a day or two on the way to Israel, but I don't really remember anything.
I mean, it sort of reminded me of Reykjavik and, but like with even more like.
Civilization.
Yeah. Well, I think there's like 800,000 people that live there or something, or maybe I'm thinking of Denmark total, but no. I think that's right. So it's a bigger city. It's like I love Danish like design and stuff. So there's like just like really everything is beautiful. There's like a sweet little harbor. It's really clean. Everyone speaks. Not that this really matters, but like everybody speaks English. It's so convenient. Like people even like put on an American accent when they talk to you. Like,
well, you sort of demanded that. You said, I appreciate the English, but can you at least speak with a good accent too?
Yeah, it's true. I was like, I can't understand what the accent, like they're like, sir, I'm British. And I was like, I know.
But can you speak at the very least in a Canadian way so I can make heads or tails of what you're trying to tell me?
Sorry about that.
All right, let me try to get one question in before the break. This one is about traveling abroad, so it's still within the same theme.
Yeah, I've totally forgot we had. I forgot we were recording a podcast.
So, yeah. Right. Do you know? Wow. Do you know what Erasmus is?
No, I do not.
I guess it's a European study abroad thing where Europeans study in Germany, maybe for free, but maybe just like as a college excursion. So this British lad who we'll call Prince Charles writes, my girlfriend and I are on Erasmus for the next 6 months in Germany. We've been together for 2 years. We were in Germany for 2 weeks when she said that she would like to, quote, pretend we're single for the next 6 months. And I was curious if any of the other
Erasmus?
They are together on Erasmus. And she wants to pretend that they're single for 6 months and was curious if any of the other students would work it out for themselves. A friend that went on Erasmus with us called her out and says something like, that's not okay. And it would make me worried, which it didn't until our friend said it should. My girlfriend said she really wants to make friends and thinks people won't be friends with us if they know we're dating. Just there, she told me that I should remove a photo of her dad that he tagged me in on my Facebook timeline because, quote, her dad is embarrassing and anyone that added me would know that we're dating. What's going on? Is this okay?
It's not good.
But is it okay?
I guess it's okay in the sense that on Erasmus anything goes.
Yes, this is Erasmus after all.
Is this okay for her, bad for him? I would call this grounds for breakup.
Yeah, it seems like she has a mental hang-up about telling people that she's in a relationship.
Yeah, and I think that is, I mean, it sounds to me like she just doesn't want to be in a relationship, right?
I mean, it is Erasmus after all. She is basically not comfortable, and that's okay, saying that she's in a relationship, but it's also okay for you to say, then I'm not comfortable being in a relationship. That's also
right.
Okay.
Yeah. You could sort of just discuss comfort here. She says, but it's not even really about comfort. She's like, she has kind of a weird viewpoint that she won't be able to make friends unless she's single, which I don't think is true.
Yeah. I think she means another boyfriend. She can't get another boyfriend unless they think that she's single.
Yeah. So I would call her on that. I'd be like, so if you want to be single, if you want to be single to make friends and have all your friends think you're single, then you should be single.
Whoa. I didn't want that. I just want you to delete every photo of me or my father off your Facebook.
I will. And we'll also not be together. So peace out. Woo.
I'm just worried about Erasmus here.
Erasmus is
disastrous.
It's Christmas and Rumspringa.
Christmas.
Yeah.
It's a great name, Erasmus. All right, so it's okay, but it's also okay for you not to want to do it.
I would say it's not okay. I'll go ahead and say it's not okay. If somebody is like, let's pretend that we're single. You can't let anybody know that you're with me. Like, what are you doing then? What a weird, sad secret to have. The most shameful secret of all is that you're playing along, that you're doing it.
I think it's okay in the sense that it's legal. Like, she can tell you what she's uncomfortable with, but then it's also right. Okay for you to say you're uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I think that I would actually go one step further and say that it's illegal.
It's illegal.
In a relationship, if you're like, we are boyfriend and girlfriend, but on Erasmus, we are single and we have to pretend to be single to everybody, I will be like, that's illegal to the relationship. That's...
and I'm throwing you in a relationship jail.
That's to such detriment that we might as well not be in a relationship. That's deal breaking, game breaking, relationship ender.
All right. So Jake says it's not okay. I say it is okay. Maybe your answer is somewhere in between. Let us know what happens. I'm very curious as to whether or not, I guess if you say yes to this, she's just going to be able to do anything she wants at this point.
Yeah. It's sort of like, pretending to be single lets everybody test the waters to see if they could get a better boyfriend or girlfriend, and yeah. then like, and with the safety of like, if it doesn't work out, they'll be able to go back to the one they have on the back burner. And I think that's cheating.
Prince Charles is going to be like, hey, I saw you making out with somebody else at a party. And she's like, I was making out, but that was just to continue selling this facade that we're single.
They were on to us, Prince. Don't you get it? They started to suspect that we were together. You didn't delete the photo of my dad fast enough, so I had to French some stranger on Erasmus.
I know we're on Erasmus. I'm on Erasmus, too.
I'm on your ass, miss.
Nice.
Thank you.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll thank some sponsors. We'll be back with more questions and answers after this. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Did not
need. That's amazing. That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I was high.
Bark box. Yeah, bark box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, dozens of them a month. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn,
and
I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes. Congrats. And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Most of it yours. Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rocket Money. This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law.
Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there, and you know what? You can update it with an app, so every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. And we're back. Jake, do you have any? Aunt Celeste, the fire!
Yes, I do, bro. Want to hear it?
Is it to avoid the duck pie at Clown Bar?
That is one. And actually, yeah, I would fully endorse everybody to never, ever go to that bar because their service was bad.
Uh-huh.
In addition to poisoning me, they were rude. Okay. And my unsolicited advice is to unfollow the people that you hate follow. Do you have anybody on your Instagram feed who you sort of like just you can't stop looking at and it irks you and you're like, oh my God, what is wrong with this person?
Yeah. Well, on Twitter I do.
Yeah. I had that on Instagram like maybe as recently as like a month or two ago. And then I just like cleansed and I unfollowed all of them. And my social media, it's so much better. And now if I even like start to get annoyed at somebody, I'll hide their story. I like there's no reason to look at something because it makes you mad.
Hide their story.
You can mute people's stories.
And that's funny because it's basically like I don't even want to be tempted.
Yeah. And you will cuz like sometimes you got a long day and you have like you're distracted and you'll get to the end of your Instagram stories. You will find it.
Oh, yeah, it'll just show it to you.
Sometimes I'll like fuck with my, I'll try to fuck with my algorithm and I'll just be like, why do you keep on showing me this person's story first? So I'll skip and I'll like just watch ones after them to get them to go further back. And then I just realized that like your quality of life will be better if you cut out social media that makes you annoyed.
I'll bleep it out, but can you just start naming people? Do I know them? And then I'll just bleep it out as you say that you've unfollowed them.
Okay. So you'll bleep it out, but I'll okay. So
I'm just curious.
Right. So Dave Rosenberg.
Okay.
Jeff Rosenberg.
Yeah.
Avital, your girlfriend, obviously.
Okay.
Marty, Marika. Marissa and Jeffrey a little bit. So yeah, just bleep all that stuff out because I don't want anybody. Right. Riley, okay.
All right.
I was hate following Riley for a long time, so I had to just mute it up.
All right. I have to figure out how to bleep again because I got this new Premiere thing, but I'll figure it out.
It shouldn't be hard. Even if you can't bleep it, why don't you just
cut? I'm getting tired.
Well, don't get that
tired.
Right,
I'll figure it out.
Because you still have to edit the show. You will figure it out. But if you can't bleep it, I'm just saying edit it out.
I think I'll bleep it.
Because you don't even have to have.
I think I'll bleep it.
What are you talking about? Like, think. I already said their names, dude.
I know. I
already said the names.
I know.
Why are you thinking you're going to bleep? You have to bleep it.
I will bleep it.
You have to.
I'll bleep at the very, like, I'll get through most of them before I run out of time.
All right. Well, just
upload the show.
I'm like, I feel like I need
to
cover
it on time.
Okay. I was kidding. I was like, actually joking about everything, dude. I feel like you're not going to freaking bleep it. I was joking, right, Riley?
You're drooling. You're puking again. You're eating a duck pie.
I'll sabotage this audio somehow.
When do you think the next time is you're going to have a chicken pot pie?
I don't think I'll have any type of meat pie ever again. I still can't even eat red meat. like at all. And I was like, I ate such gross stuff, and like at the time it didn't gross me out, but I had like, I ate pigeon.
Yeah, I think that's what got you. I saw that Instagram story of you chasing a pigeon and biting its wing just off.
I dove into the scent to try to take out a bird.
That had to have been it.
It must have been. I think it might have been I still think it was clown bar, but I did eat a raw pigeon in the river.
All right, solid unsolicited advice.
What about you? Do you have anything?
I'm on the cusp of one, and I'll tell you what it is. I'm not really willing to fully endorse it yet, but I recently found out about something that sounds incredibly intriguing. I like finding out about new things that are like, you know, kind of life-changing that when you search online, a lot of people are doing it, but then when I ask personally, a lot of people don't know about it. So I'm going to ask you.
Right.
Have you heard of monovision?
No.
Monovision.
Monovision. No.
Okay. So here's the full story. I got an optometry appointment to just check to see if I'm available, if I'm eligible to get LASIK.
And?
I'm a candidate.
Wow.
So that's one big step. I don't know if I'm going to do it. I don't know when I'm going to do it, but just know that I can. I'm eligible.
All right. Now I can really put the pressure on you. Okay. Yeah. So, and then you learned about monovision?
Yes. So while my optometrist was explaining to me LASIK, which seems,
I was Googling other shit on my phone.
He was like, what I like to do sometimes is leave your dominant eye strong as it would be in regular LASIK, and your non-dominant eye a little bit blurry at a distance. And I said, okay, why is that? And he said, well, everybody will need reading glasses. As you get older, your eyes harden and they stop being able to read close up. For example, when I'm reading a book, I take my glasses off.
Okay.
And he's like, but now imagine you can't take those glasses off because we're going to laser your eyes to basically have the glasses.
Right.
I was like, oh, that's interesting. And he said, unless what we've been doing recently is making your dominant eye, which I didn't know there was a dominant eye, sharp as though you had glasses on, and your non-dominant eye a little bit sharper for reading. And that gives you pretty much perfect vision at a distance while also not necessitating reading glasses because your little bit blurry eye does the heavy lifting on the reading while your dominant eye does the heavy lifting on the distance.
Interesting. Wait, so are you saying that like when I read a book, because I have perfect vision, it's like harder for me to read a book when I'm holding it up close, or it's like it's going to get harder as I get older?
It's going to get harder as you get older. Like when you see like, you know, 50, 60, 70-year-olds, they use reading glasses when they're reading. Otherwise, they have to hold the book further and further away. That space near from your like nose to like 12 inches out will get blurry, and then 24 inches out will get blurry. And he's saying, if I make one of your eyes a little weaker from a distance, which will hopefully be imperceptible to you, that'll make it so that the field of focus that are like the 12-inch to 24-inch will be delayed, and you won't need reading glasses as fast as you think.
Interesting.
And I'm like, is this a new thing in optometry? He's like, fairly new. A lot of people do LASIK just for monovision, but since you're already getting LASIK, I can add monovision into it.
So there are people with perfect vision that are like, make my eye a little blurrier?
Exactly, as they get older, because they don't want...
reading glasses?
Yes, they don't want reading glasses.
Very, very intriguing.
So I started, you know, Google searching, Reddit searching, Twitter searching monovision, and some people love it, and some people which is what I thought would happen, is just give you like kind of a headache feeling because like one of your eyes is blurrier than the other.
Yeah, it seems too risky. It seems like you could just get, I mean, what kind of procedure is monovision later? Is it like as intense as LASIK?
It is LASIK. It's the same thing. It's LASIK, but it's making one of your eyes a little softer from a distance. It makes your non-dominant eye. It basically is LASIK on your reading eye only.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it at all, dude.
Well, so he's like, I'm like, how can you tell if you're going to be one of those people that find it dizzying? And he said, come back on Monday. So this was yesterday. We're recording on Saturday. And on Monday, I'm going to go back there. And he's like, I'll give you contact lenses. One that'll show you what will be like with your perfect vision, and one that'll have monovision baked into the contact lenses. So you can see if it's like, for some people, it's like imperceptible. It's completely fine. It feels just as great as regular LASIK, but it'll delay needing reading glasses. And for some people, it'll be like dizzying for half an hour. And then you're like, okay, it's not worth it for me to assume I'll get acclimated.
Interesting. Okay. So you're going to, on Monday, you'll know more.
On Monday, I'll know more, and just generally look up monovision because it's kind of a unique, interesting thing.
I feel like if you like the monovision, you're going to be more likely to get LASIK if you like monovision, because that's like a little bit of an interesting twist, you know? You're future proofing yourself. Like, yeah. If you like monovision, I'll say there's like a 90% chance you get it, and if you don't, then I feel like we're back to like 50-50.
Yeah, because it's like two for one. It's like, I'm going to give you the perfect vision and the mono vision.
You get the you get the 20/20. You get the mono.
You get it all. And you just can't swim for a week.
Oh, yeah, you can't. Dude, I'm so excited for you to have LASIK.
If I get it.
You will. Oh, you'll get it, dude.
Thanks, man. I needed to hear that.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
All right, but I'm not ready to commit to that being my unsolicited advice. Though I will say, right, I've never even worn contacts, so Monday is going to be a monumental day regardless.
Yeah, oh my, I want to be there when you put the contacts in for the first time. It's good. Like, I just want to watch you do it.
I assume they'll do it for me.
Oh, I guess that's true. But like, you'll have to, I figured they were going to like let you have it for the day or something. You got to take them for a real test.
No, it's really just like 20 minutes, because if it's fine right away, then you'll only get better.
Wow.
The only risk is if it like it's dizzying or headachey. He's like, you'll probably get used to it, but a lot of people are like, they don't want to risk it.
What if you just love the contacts and you're like, this works, I don't need glasses or LASIK?
Yeah, that was really easy, actually. I don't know why I was afraid of contacts. All right, here's a question to get us back on the questions. I would say we should endorse the live shows, but we're sold out.
Hell yes.
New York City and DC.
Let's endorse figuring out where to go next. Jeffrey's been begging us to do a show in Cleveland since we've known him, so maybe we should do that in the summer or something.
Yeah, a little Midwestern run.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
A little Chicago action.
Ooh, I love that.
Here's a question from an American lady. She calls Instagram story power move. Reminds me of your Instagram story blocking idea.
That's right. All right, let's hear it.
So once again, we'll call this lady Riley for now because you blocked her on Instagram. But
well,
again,
I'll block this out. All right, because I don't want you to. Yeah, just remember to bleep out Riley's name, because otherwise, yeah,
the first time I will definitely do it.
Well, it won't make a difference if you do it the first time if you don't do it the second. And I just said her name again, so
yeah, let's try not to say her name so much.
Like, just all right.
Because it gets harder to spot.
I'll give you the time code is 30 at the 39-minute mark. So just remember.
I won't remember that. All right.
I'll call you after.
So let me get into, hold on, Riley writes.
Don't say the name anymore.
Says Riley. At the end of the last year, Riley started seeing a coworker.
Wait a second. This is fucked.
At the end of last year, I started seeing a coworker, and things have been going great. We were so close to making official when, through a series of alcohol-laden holiday party incidents, we found out that we were the center of office gossip. We mutually decided to end things because we didn't want it to interfere with our professional comeuppance, for lack of a better term. However, it was very friendly, and we both expressed interest in revisiting the relationship if we are no longer coworkers. We've been cordial with one another since then, but have tapered off communication significantly. It's been about 2 months, and while I'm, quote, over it, he's been posting screenshots of conversations he's having on dating apps on his Instagram close friends story. Don't get me wrong, I'm all over dating apps too, but isn't it in poor taste to screenshot these interactions onto social media, even in general? Also, if he's only posting it for his, quote, close friends, a curated list that I'm assuming he knows I'm on, is this some kind of power move? Maybe just a dick move? Maybe I'm the one reading too much into it. Anyway, I've muted his stories, but is there any scenario where I can ask to be removed from his close friends, LOL? I still like seeing his other stories, but the little green circle is just too tempting sometimes. Please validate my feelings. Thank you. Love, Riley.
That's tough. I'm with her on it. Like, That's definitely in poor taste. To put it on Instagram, I don't know. That seems like a lot.
What are your thoughts on close friends? This might be our first close friends story. Or sorry, close friends question.
I don't use it, and I don't really fully understand it, but I don't use it. I could imagine using it for like my family or something.
Yeah. How do you see it? Do you see the green circle?
I do. There are some people that I follow that like that include me in their close friends, and I see that.
Yeah. I wonder why that is.
Yeah. I'm not interested in it. I feel like Instagram's like done enough for me at this point. Like doing new stuff with Instagram, I'm like generally weary of, because I feel like it takes up enough time. So when there's like a new feature that I should use, I'm like, I don't know if I want to get into that really.
Yeah.
I think it would be an equal power move for Riley, or sorry, bleep that, for her to say, to be like, you can remove me from the close friends for stuff like this. Thanks, LOL. Or like smiley face. I don't know.
Yeah. Or can't she just block him? Like, isn't it more of a power move to be in the close friends and not view it?
Yeah, but it's kind of tough because like he'll never know that you don't view it or that you blocked him, unless maybe he's looking at that.
I think you look. If there's only like, you know, like 83 people that view your stories, you'll see if your ex-girlfriend is one of them. Oh, believe that.
Right. What do you like? Do you think, like, why do you think he's doing that? Do you think that he's doing it on purpose so she sees?
Yes, I think so. I think part of him is like, hey, check it out. Look at these silly dating apps thing. And then it's like, oh, the byproduct is, oh, I'm on dating apps. Oops, I guess you know now.
So I guess it's not really like, I don't know if it's a full power move if she just blocks him. It's like, that's just more of a self-preservation thing. Or it's like, or it's maybe just like healthier to not give a shit. But I feel like a power move usually has to be something that the other person sees and feels.
Oh, you can't fake a power move? Then it becomes less powerful?
I don't know. I guess I just think so.
I think I would, I guess,
maybe
if I were you.
Kinds of power moves.
If I were you, I would block, and then he'll notice that you aren't even watching his close friend story.
You think he will notice if she's not viewing?
Yes.
Then that's a decent power move.
That's a pretty good power move.
Yeah, because saying remove me from this isn't a power move. That's like, it's snide and hopefully hurtful to him, but it's not really like, it's definitely like a little petty.
Yeah, it's a little Tom Petty.
And the Heartbreakers.
Nice. So what would you do if you were her?
I would, and you know that I would, because I just talked about this on the unsolicited advice. I would mute or block. You know what? I think the ultimate power move
unfollow.
Is actually unfollow. Yeah.
Wow.
Unfollow.
Wow.
That's the move.
Wow.
That's the move.
Wow.
That's the move. You gotta unfollow. Fuck yeah. Glad we got there. Final answer, unfollow.
The good thing about unfollowing is that you'll only, quote, get in trouble if he calls you out, which means he admits that he saw that you unfollowed him. So it's like, it's almost like forcing the other guy to notice something that's kind of embarrassing to notice.
Right. And then he would be like, oh shit, this didn't have the desired effect of making her jealous and come back to me.
Yeah.
It only had, it made me repulsive to her.
So you say unfollow more than mute or block.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say,
I wish you could unfollow with a door slam. You remember on AOL when you would like get into an argument with somebody that you were dating and they would like sign off and it would actually like the door would slam?
Oh yeah, boof.
Yeah. Like when you could sign off in somebody's face, that was a power move. You don't have that anymore. You can't sign out of a text, you know?
Yeah, you can't leave.
No. That used to be something you could do. You'd be like, "All right, I'm done talking to you online. Bye."
Yeah.
And then you're out. And now you can't. You're like, I'm online all the time. I'm never not reachable.
If your buddy wasn't on AIM, you couldn't message them and they would get it when they sign in, right?
No, they'd have to have an away message.
But away message still meant I'm logged in. I'm just away right now.
Yeah, no, you had to be logged in to get a message.
That's really funny. So it's like, hey, I'm not even logged in. You can't message me. There's no like answering machine for AOL.
Good old days.
Yeah. And then the away messages was only like when I went to college and like internet was just fast and free for 24/7. Like I couldn't just stay on AOL throughout middle school.
No, no, not at all. And like also I was in like high school when I was using away messages, but like my sisters would be like, I want to go on AIM. And I'd be like, no, I have an away message up. I'm collecting messages right now.
Are you insane? What if it signs me out? That's like a really fucking,
that's a choice dashboard quote, okay? We can't just sign out, all right? We also, can't just sign out.
Did it save messages? Like if somebody else signed you out, are those messages gone forever?
Oh, they're gone, baby, gone. Words in the wind.
God, that's awesome. We should bring back an AOL type chat where you have to be online to get it. And if you're not, it doesn't even send. And once you go away, it's gone forever. I guess it's kind of like Snapchat. But Snapchat, yeah, you're always on.
What we should really do is like make a movie or a short film about this era of like, I guess 2004.
I got to tell you, I've been watching Pen 15, and that is that show.
No. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's great and also too bad.
And it's really funny. It's these two 30-year-old comedians who play themselves at age 13. So it's like everybody is a seventh grader except for them.
God damn.
And they're playing like seventh graders. And it's all this stuff.
That's such a good idea. And it makes me so sad.
Even watching it makes me sad.
We should have thought about that. That should have been our idea.
Yeah. Let's pitch Pen 16.
Cool.
Anyway, it's on Hulu. You should check it out.
The squeakquel.
Yeah.
That's some good, some more unsolicited advice.
All right. That's it. That's our episode. Two questions, but we learned a lot about your gastrointestinal situation.
That's right. And about monovision.
Monovision. Look it up, folks. It sounds 80s and boring, but I assure you it is the future, or maybe not. I have to do more research, and you should too.
I'll know more when this podcast comes out.
A lot of people also wear one contact to create monovision if they don't want to go the LASIK route. Let me give you a contact monocle. The monocle is back, and it is monovision.
Excellent. Excellent.
All right. Opening theme song was written one more time by David Steinberger. Yes, Steinberger. And then this one is quite a long Pixies cover that I'm going to save to the end because it'll be a good outro song. Alexander Stoikoski, a Pixies cover. P.S., I've been loving you since my younger days. I'm now a full-grown baby. That's right. I have Benjamin Button disease, so you better not be mean to me.
Okay.
We won't be mean to you. We like the song. Thank you, Alexander. Thanks to you guys for listening. We'll be in New York and D.C. soon. Maybe you can. Maybe we'll see you there.
Dope.
And we'll be back next week, as always. Ciao, everybody.
Later.
Where's my advice? Where's my advice? Where's my advice? Way out on an email, and the Jews are reading. Where's my advice? Where's my advice? Where's my advice?
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will. Can you do that? So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.